belongs to him. All power, all dominion, all authority. And yet he wants that relationship with us. This is why we're celebrating communion this morning, isn't it? It's because Jesus set aside his glory in heaven and came and was a man, walked humbly on this earth. So he had all power, all authority, and had dominion over everything over this earth. And I don't believe that left Jesus just when he became a man, but he set it to one side and he walked humbly as a man. So he had the ability to draw down or whatever he wanted to draw down, but he chose not to. He chose to walk this earth in humility and to follow what the Father would have him do. And we're just sharing communion. So I thought we would just look at around John 14 and just see what it really, what Jesus set in place and why he set it in place. Jesus and the disciples were all together for probably around 3 years, weren't they? Whilst Jesus walked this earth and he shared his ministry. And he got to the point at the end of Jesus' time on this earth and they shared the Passover meal. Jesus washed the feet and introduced, if you like, the first communion, didn't he? And shared then, he explained what was about to happen. And he asked us to do it in remembrance of him. This remarkable event that Jesus went through. And Steve said it's a celebration, didn't he? He said earlier that we need to celebrate. It's right and proper that we remember the suffering and what Jesus went through. But it says in Hebrews, for the joy that was set before him, he went to the cross. The joy was the relationship with us. So you think, you know, this magnitude, the greatness of God, the almighty power that God has. He put that to one side because he wants a relationship with you, a personal relationship with you. Not a relationship with you through some other person, through the priest, through a third party. He wants a relationship with you directly. He wants to be able to walk and talk with you. So Jesus sat there at that last Passover, or the last Passover he shared, and explained what was about to happen. He'd been with his disciples, as I say, for around that three-year period. They'd seen all that was done. They were party to lots of discussions, most of which, I guess, weren't recorded. They walked miles, didn't they, as they walked around the Holy Land. They were party to things. They saw things. They followed his every way. They'd seen the miracles. They'd seen the hardship. They witnessed his provision. It had become their way of life. That's where they were, wasn't it? As disciples. And then suddenly Jesus pulls them into the Passover meal and says this. If you look at John 14, he says, I'm going to my Father. And Thomas's response was, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Because he'd been used to following him, literally following him around the Holy Land. He'd been used to just saying, right, you know, Jesus saying, right, we're going to Bethany, we're going to Jerusalem, we're going to Bethsaida, wherever it might be. And Jesus answered this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you who do know him have seen him. So Jesus starts to explain and unfold a little bit of what's about immediately to happen and how that relationship will work. And Philip said, show us the Father and that will be enough for us. And Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words that I say, I do not speak of my own authority, rather the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. They'd seen plenty of evidence, hadn't they? We've got many, many miracles recorded. But John finishes up saying there were many more done. The books wouldn't be big enough to contain them all if we were to record them all, doesn't he? Yeah? They'd seen all of that. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. They will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. So Jesus is starting to spell out this relationship that's going to be different after his death and his resurrection to what it was before. So there were a group of people before Jesus died that walked the earth with him, witnessed everything he did, understood everything that Jesus did in their way. But Jesus is starting to say, actually, there's a higher way. There's another way. There's a different way. And that's where we are, isn't it? That's the point that we've got to. So Jesus not only explained what had happened, he'd been doing the Father's work, but also what was about to happen is just the beginning. This joy, this celebration, this understanding of what communion represents is the beginning of our walk with the Lord. Repentance is the start, isn't it? And then we walk with him. He'd been setting them an example. And now it was time for them to follow the example and put it into practice. He had explained his relationship with the Father, and he went on then to explain about the Holy Spirit. And if we can read in Ephesians, that it tells us that through Jesus, we have access to the Father by the Spirit. And this is what Jesus was starting to unfold. Our access to the Father through Jesus by the Spirit. He'd already said, remember the sacrifice until he returns. He's now starting to say his provision would be in place until he returns. So Jesus set the scene, told them what was about to happen, told them how the relationship would change, but also underlined the fact that our relationship with him would be fully, fully equipped. There was nothing that he was going to ask us to do that he hadn't provided for. There was nothing there that we were going to go in and we were going to be pioneers. We were going to set the way and find out how it all works. Jesus did it all. Jesus prepared the way. So we carry on reading in John 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives within you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, but I come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore. But you will see me because I live, you also live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father and that you are in me. And I am in you. Whoever has my commands will keep them. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Isn't that a wonderful privilege? That if we know him and love him and we accept the gift of salvation, and ask for that forgiveness and walk with him, then we can be absolutely assured that we're loved by Father God. Father God, who is the creator, our and all, so that he was prepared to send his Son, and his Son was prepared to set aside that glory for the joy that was set before him, that is the cross. And Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will also love him, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while you are still with me. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything that I have said. So we have the Holy Spirit within us. Jesus is saying, I will send the Advocate, my Advocate, the Holy Spirit. So we have the Spirit of God, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We have the Spirit of God within us. Isn't that remarkable? Yeah? And he will teach us all things, and he will remind us of all things. So we don't need to remember, or to worry, rather, about our memory fading. We ask the Holy Spirit to keep our memory absolutely strong. Yeah? Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. So that's Jesus' words as we start on the next bit, if you like, after redemption. He's equipped us. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us everything that we need to walk. But we need to recognize that the world will not understand what Jesus has said. We'll not understand when we start talking about we have the Spirit of God within us, because the world doesn't recognize it. The world doesn't know it. But they will see the evidence. They might not understand, but they will understand they will see the evidence of our relationship that we have with him. Our lives, therefore, must reflect that truth, mustn't it? You know, as we walk with him, we must reflect that. If we're not different, our actions, and more importantly, reactions, how will the world ever know? You know, we've got to be different. We've got to demonstrate that the power of God works within us. So the celebration is that we can thank God for his complete provision. We can thank God that he has equipped us for every good work. He's equipped us for everything that pertains to the kingdom of God. There is no lack, nothing. None of us can say, yeah, but I didn't really have this to do that. God has equipped us all. We all have very different walks. We all have very different characters. But God has equipped every single one of us. And it's with joy and it's with thanksgiving that we can share this. Actually, in Corinthians, it talks about the cup of thanksgiving and the participation of the body of Christ. It's a real celebration. And it's time, I think, now, it's as Steve said at the very beginning, I've got to finish before I start because it is now 25 to 2, according to that clock. So, I think it would be good just to have 5 or 10 minutes now where we just spend a time and we thank God for that provision. We thank God for everything that he's done. We thank God for his willingness to send his son to die for us. And Jesus's comment or Paul's saying that for the joy that was set before him, he was prepared to go to the cross. What a thing that is, you know, all the suffering, all that Jesus went through because of the relationship that he wanted with us, and that brought him joy, every single one of us. What a privileged place we are. Remember the magnitude of God. How big is God? There is nothing that's too big, too difficult for him. We've sung this morning, we've sung some wonderful things. We've said, you know, that he turns graves into gardens. He turns bones into armies. He's the seas into highways. In other words, he can do the impossible. You know, where there is no way. Have you ever gone on a walk and then come up against a massive river? Well, nowhere do I go. Yeah? He's quite capable of taking that out of your way and giving us a direction. How often does he bring life where all we can see is death? How often does he turn things completely around from something that we see in the earthly eye, if you like, but he sees something totally different in the spiritual eye. And he can do these things. He's the God of the impossible. He's the creator of heaven and earth. He created everything, and therefore it's not too difficult for him to turn things around for our good and for our blessing when we love him. That's the God that we have. We've sung that Jesus' name brings power, brings healing, brings life. How much do we draw on that? How much do we actually use the name of Jesus to bring that power, that healing, that life, where on the face of it, there is no life, there is no healing? We need to just spend time, I think, and acknowledge that God is almighty, that he is sovereign, that we understand the sacrifice that he made, but what a celebration, what a joy it is for us to be able to become part of the family of God and understand his provision. So, Steve, I think if we just have 5 or so minutes where we can just individually just thank God. And if you want to pray out loud, pray out loud. If you want to pray in your heart, and pray in your heart. But it's a time, I think, just to say thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. As Jeff said, you know, that's what a wonderful thing to be looking forward to communion service. Let's just spend a bit of time and thank the Lord for everything he's done and for that relationship that we have with him, for the joy that that brings him, so that we can walk our life in the presence of Almighty God and know his presence, his power, and his influence in the way that we walk. Thank you.
Do you know that you're the fragrance of Jesus wherever you go? If you know Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, you are the fragrance of Jesus. And we're not to take that lightly. And that this morning, as we were praising the Lord, we were the fragrance. We just were lifting up our praise, and that goes as fragrance back to his throne room. And then we are the fragrance of Jesus. This morning we've got some really